Understanding what the voices are that torment schizophrenic patients and what you can begin doing about them, by Jerry Martzynski, March 12, 2022. One clickable contents. Before you can do anything about disrupting the voices that torment schizophrenics, it is critical that you know what the voices are and how they behave. This article addresses the important components you must first understand. Vital components you must first understand. There are two critical components involved in disrupting and weakening the voices on the movement toward recovery. The first is to understand the truth of what the voices are. You have not been told the truth. The voices are not hallucinations. Second, they are energetic parasitic entities that do not play by the rules of the physical universe. Their true nature can only be known by the effect they have on the individuals they torture. They are able to speak in complete sentences, have various degrees of intelligence and are determined to destroy the individual they infest. It is critical that those who are intent on moving against the voices become aware of the following truths. These truths are critical for those working with schizophrenics. What must first be understood is as follows. 1. It is the voices that drive paranoid schizophrenia. If the voices can be gotten rid of by any means, all symptoms of this disorder will vanish. 2. The psychiatric mafia knowingly has fed the public two blatant lies. A. That schizophrenics have broken brains due to some mysterious chemical imbalance, and, B. That they have inherited a schizophrenia gene. The establishment has no valid evidence for either of these claims. Both have been soundly disproven. Nothing is wrong with your brain. The purpose of this false propaganda is to sell their retinue of toxic antitude psychotic drugs which cure absolutely nothing. These drugs are some of the most dangerous utilized in medicine today, and patients are seldom told of their hazardous side effects, including the shrinking of the brain with long-term use and the destruction of the patient's peripheral nervous system. 3. Refuse to believe any claims that schizophrenia is a physical disease or a life sentence that can only be treated with toxic drugs. The fact is that neither psychiatry nor the medical establishments know the cause of schizophrenia, nor do they appear to have any interest in finding one. Evidence of this is the fact that funding for research into the cause of schizophrenia has been cut to a mere dribble, despite schizophrenia being listed by the WHO as among the top 10 maladies plaguing the human race. 4. The patient must understand that although the voices might sound like their thoughts, they are not. We have all been taught that the thoughts running through our heads belong to us and are who we are. This is a very dangerous falsity. We are the ones listening to those thoughts. We are not those thoughts. The patient is the one who is listening to the voices which only seem to be their own thoughts. The intrusive thoughts inserted into their victim's thought stream by the voices are not those of the victim and are not who the victim is. One can distinguish the voices of these entities from their own thoughts by their intent. The destructive intent of the voices is very different from the intent of the individual for themselves. The voices are not hallucinations. Very little can be done to rid the patient of the voices as long as one believes they are unreal hallucinations. Schizophrenics have been trying to tell psychiatrists that the voices are very real for eons and have been drugged senseless for doing so. The voices are not hallucinations, as the psychiatric mafia insists. They are very real and very dangerous. Unlike hallucinations, which are random in nature, the voices run a fixed series of destructive patterns. Once these patterns are understood, it becomes possible to disrupt them. Any phenomenon that runs fixed, repeatable patterns is not a hallucination but under control of an outside force. After working with schizophrenic patients for more than 35 years, I discovered that the voices schizophrenic patients hear run the following repeated patterns throughout different psychiatric institutions, from one side of the country to the other. 1. The voices are consistently negative, abusive, and destructive. Hallucinations are random in nature and do not run patterns. 2. The voices are consistently attitude religious and react negatively to their victim reading the Bible or any other kind of positive spiritual material. Hallucinations do not do this. 3. The voices consistently do what they can to cause fear, guilt, shame and massive conflict aimed at breaking up families, relationships, friendships and fostering isolation. 4. The voices are energetic parasites. They do anything they can to generate a negative emotional state in their victim, which is necessary before they can drain their victim's energy. Schizophrenics will notice that their energy level massively drops after the voices attack, but they are seldom aware that it is the voices that have siphoned off their energy. Hallucinations do not do this. 5. The voices get louder after sunset, becoming most intense between the hours of 3-4 in the morning. 6. The psychiatric mafia often tells their patients to ignore the voices. The fact is that the voices get louder when ignored. The voices compete for and demand the victim's attention. It is the victim's attention that feeds them. Where your attention goes, your energy flows. The voices feed off the victim's attention. 7. The voices foster self-destructive decisions and behavior. 8. The voices foster isolation and conflict. Isolation allows the voices unopposed access to the patient. 9. They constantly seek to increase their control over their victim. 10. They try to keep their victim from sleeping to weaken their victim's will to resist. One of their chief means of accomplishing this is by instilling nightmares. 11. The voices gaslight their victim to make them believe they can't trust their own judgment. 12. They manipulate their victim's perception, warping it to interpret neutral happenings in the patient's environment in the most negative and frightful fashion possible. Fear equals false evidence appearing real. 13. The voices have access to the patient's memory and bring up shameful and guilt-driven past behavior to rub in the face of the victim to generate the fear and negative emotion on which they feed. 14. The voices demand that the victim tell no one about their presence or what they are saying. They warn that telling others of their presence will cause people to think they are crazy and they will be locked up. Unfortunately, this turns out to be true in too many cases because the general public has been brainwashed to believe the lie that all thoughts are generated from within the brain. 15. The voices are consummate liars. They will make up any fearful lie that will upset the victim. None of the information they give can be trusted. They will not keep any bargain or deal they make. If they do tell a truth, it is used to hook the patient into a false belief later on. The voices consistently steer their victim away from anything that might generate joy or happiness. 16. The voices are capable of manipulating and inducing negative feelings without speaking to the victim. 17. The voices short-circuit the patient's reasoning, urging them to do things that will get them in trouble or locked up, which they consider a victory. The prisons have become the new state mental hospitals. 18. The voices often sound just like the thousands of everyday thoughts a victim experiences and try to pass themselves off as thoughts belonging to the victim. The big difference between the two is intent. The patient's intent is very much different from that of the voices, which are destructive and malicious in nature. 19. The voices cause selective forgetting and often make the victim forget to do exercises given them to fight against and weaken the voices. 20. The voices fill their victims' minds with negative thoughts about themselves and others. 21. The voices utilize confusion as a means of instilling negative suggestions. In short, anything that can be done to reverse, negate or interfere with any of these patterns will be met with resistance by the voices, but if successful will result in an improvement in the patient and a weakening of the voices. The voices will fight back and temporarily get worse when confronted and challenged. This is not a physical battle. The victim must understand that this is a spiritual, not a physical battle. The voices are invisible energetic beings attempting to take control of the victim's thought processes. As John Mash, the author of Causism, points out, the voices reside in an energetic universe where there is no time, space or matter. This allows them to attack the victim at any time or place. Their victim cannot physically escape them. Trying to get rid of them with drugs is akin to trying to destroy a magnetic field by pouring antidepressant psychotic drugs on it. antitude psychotic drugs tranquilize the physical brain but cure nothing and seldom permanently get rid of the voices. Things that can be done to weaken and help eliminate the voices. 1. One of the single most powerful things a victim of the voices can do is to go to our website at www.jerrymartzinski.com, then go to the articles section and print out the That's a Lie program and have the victim put it to consistent use every time the voices show up. The schizophrenic must understand that the voices are consummate liars and can't be trusted to tell the truth about anything. 2. The voices are bullies and the victim is their target. The victim must stand up to their bullying. The voices are like the prosecution in a kangaroo court. They will exaggerate guilt based on false or tampered with evidence. The voices utilize a form of brainwashing and will do everything possible to diminish the victim's sense of self to death. The victim must keep reminding themselves that they are stronger than the voices. The victim needs to turn the tables on the voices by confronting them, arguing against them and accuse them of putting forth false information and crazy unreasonable requests. 3. Schizophrenics need to stop the use of any stimulant and drastically cut sugar. Caffeine and sugar increase agitation and should be avoided. Increase intake of cheese, milk and turkey, which has natural tryptophan and has a calming effect. 4. The voices will do everything in their power to rip the family apart and drive their victim to isolate and distrust family members. Isolating themselves is one of the worst things family members can allow the victim to do. The more the victim can be urged to stay engaged with others and to focus on something positive and take their attention off their voices, the better off the victim will be. 5. The schizophrenic's voices are attracted to negativity, which feeds and strengthens the voices. Do not allow a victim to play with Ouija boards, seances, use EVP devices, read or watch ghost shows, murder mysteries, war movies, violent TV shows or play violent video games. A victim's emotional reaction to these activities feeds and strengthens the voices. 6. Every negative thought about self or others are lies put into the victim's mind by the dark side. Call them out as lies. 7. Get the schizophrenic to read The Voice of Knowledge by Miguel Ruiz and An Amazing Journey Through the Psychotic Mind. Both will give the victim and their family a better understanding of what the voices are and how they operate. 8. Advise the victim that the battle revolves around the voices attempting to snag and take over the victim's attention. Once they command the victim's attention, the problems start. Remember, the voices will not allow their victim to ignore them, they will get louder if ignored. What you resist persists. To avoid the voices getting stronger, call their words, suggestions and accusations lies. Say, "That's a lie." Don't give them any negative energy. The victim does not have to defend himself against dark side lies. They just need to send them positive energy instead of feeding them with negative energy. You will find that these beings run away from positive energy. 9. The voices are energetic parasites, and at some point the victim must become aware of this. If you had a leech on you sucking your blood, you wouldn't just sit there and allow it to remain. The voices suck their victim's energy but can only do this after turning the victim's emotional state negative. This explains why the voices bombard the schizophrenic with constant negative, fearful and abusive messages. Despite being drained by the voices hundreds or thousands of times, most schizophrenics are not aware of the 1-2-2-2-done correlation between the appearance of their voices and their energy level dropping to almost zero. This must be pointed out to them. See 4. Above under hallucination. 10. Inform the victim they have at least 2 guardian angels with them at all times, but they can't help unless specifically asked. They need to ask their guardian angels for help in getting rid of the voices. 11. The voices do not like the victim talking about them to anyone and want to work in secret. Anything family members can do to get the victim to repeat what the voices are saying to them is a great blow to these entities. As stated in 14. Above. The voices will insist that the victim tell nobody about what they are saying and will tell them that if they do they will be considered crazy and will be locked up. 12. Have the victim listen to calm and pleasant music of their choice without words. No rap music. It's been reported by some patients that the voices don't like the playing of the 963 frequency over the computer. The voices hate the song Amazing Grace. 13. The voices hate and recoil at the repetition of the 23rd Psalm and other Bible verses. Hallucinations don't do this. Give the victim a copy of the 23rd Psalm and tell them to recite it every time their voices show up. It's been reported many times that the voices react to the repetition of the 23rd Psalm like worms thrown on a hot frying pan. Give the victim a copy to carry around. The voices will attempt to have the victim lose the copy or distract them from reading. It is recommended that the victim put a rubber band around their wrist to remind them to repeat the 23rd Psalm. When they show up, a snap of the rubber band on the wrist will often shut the voices up long enough for the victim to repeat the psalm. 14. The victim must be taught that one of the best ways to identify the intrusive voices from their own thoughts is via their intention. The intention of the voices is to generate fear, guilt, and shame and to increase any negative emotion and drive the victim to misbehave in ways that get them into trouble with others. Ask the victim if this is their intention and they will say it is not. Then ask them whose intention is it? 15. When they hear their voices, have them use the That's a Lie program immediately. See below for explanation of how the program works. 16. One of the most effective things that can be done to drive the voices off is if the patient is able to send the voices love. They absolutely can't stand it, but these creatures are so despicable. This is extremely difficult for most schizophrenics to do. Sending love does not mean one loves the voices. Love is a frequency just as negative emotions are frequencies. If the victim can identify with that as scientific fact, then they may be more able to use this love frequency tool to defend themselves from further disaster. The voices also hate to be mocked or laughed at. 17. The voices will instill nightmares to keep patient awake, which weakens the victim's ability to resist their destructive suggestions. Before sleep, the victim must envision themselves surrounded by a field of protective white light and must ask their guardian angels to protect them so they can sleep. 18. Do not try to ignore or resist the voices. What you resist persists. Know that they are consummate destructive liars who and you can't believe anything they say. Let everything they say go in one ear and out the other. What you resist persists. The That's a Lie program. One of the simplest and most powerful programs to derail the voices is the That's a Lie program, which was developed by Sherry Swiney, who struggled with voices as a young woman and completely freed herself from them mainly utilizing this program. It works because virtually every upsetting thing the voices tell schizophrenics is a lie. If they don't believe these lies, it makes it very much more difficult for the voices to hook the victim. The That's a Lie program is reprinted below in its entirety and can be found on my website at www.jerrymartzinski.com under the Articles section and Testimonials section. In order for the program to work, it must be utilized consistently. The That's a Lie program, part 1 of 2. Driving off the voices, schizophrenics here and reducing negative thinking for the rest of us. Introduction. By Sherry Swiney. I have received numerous emails from ordinary people asking me to explain the That's a Lie program I used to get rid of the voices I heard as a young woman. I did this on my own without the help of psychologists or psychiatrists or their toxic drugs. For those of you who hear voices or are consumed by strong and obsessive negative thoughts, it is critical that you understand that the voices and persistent negative thoughts that plague you are not yours. They come from outside of you and do not belong to you. They are not hallucinations and you are not crazy. They are energy parasites and must turn your energy negative in order to utilize it as food. Their survival depends on draining and feeding off of your negative energy. These are the same negative spirits known by the Gnostics in ancient times as archons and demons in today's biblical literature. One big lie perpetrated by the establishment is that all people are powerless to combat this disease. The truth is, this is not a disease. You are being attacked by a parasitic force outside yourself that installs negative thoughts into your mind in order to generate negative emotional energy which they absorb from you as food. You have experienced for yourselves how completely drained and depressed you feel after being consumed by negative thoughts. The That's a Lie program is a mental program designed to empower you. It is a program nothing and no one can take it away from you, except you. I am told by a clinical psychologist friend that this program has also worked to help victims of schizophrenia get rid of the voices they hear. That's a Lie program. How IT developed and how IT works. I think the best way to explain how I was able to send away the negative spirits that plagued me for years is to tell you a story. It begins some 40 years ago, after I'd already spent several years researching the brain to learn what was wrong with me and how to fix it. My initial research centered on conventional science. What I learned about the mechanics of the brain was interesting but didn't help much as it only dealt with the material world. The voices that haunted me were not of that world. The story begins when a friend of mine was going on a trip around the world and would be gone for 4 months. She invited me to house sit for her and babysit her Yorkshire Terrier. I jumped at the chance to live in a beautiful home in Mill Valley, California, secluded from everyone else in San Francisco. At that time, I was struggling with how to forgive my ex and his new wife for taking my children from me and then poisoning their minds against me. This seclusion was a perfect opportunity for that effort. The day after I moved in and said bon voyage to my friend, I went to a bookstore to browse around when a book fell off the shelf landing right at my feet. I picked it up to put it back on the shelf but first I flipped through its pages. It was by Wayne Dyer called Your Erroneous Zones. I took it to the bookstore coffee shop to browse through before deciding whether to buy it or not, and opened it to a random page which read, "No one can make you feel good or bad. That is your choice. You have the ability to control your thoughts and only you can make yourself happy." I closed the book and whispered, "Oh, my God. I did not know that." This was a pivotal moment for me that changed the course of my life. I took the book back to my friend's house and began reading every page. Many times I put it down to observe my thoughts. I wondered, who is it observing my thoughts? What are thoughts? Where do thoughts come from? Where do thoughts go once we think them? How do I control them if I'm able to step back and watch them appear out of nowhere? Realizing they are not coming from me, the Watcher. At the end of the 4 months my friend returned from her world tour, she and I had a lot to discuss. First she had to show me all her slides of places she visited and people she met. She looked vibrant and happy. At supper I told her about the book. "Did you know that you can control your thoughts and that no one can make you feel one way or another unless you allow it?" I asked. She did not know this either and though her childhood had been quite normal, she loved the idea. She asked if I would leave the book with her. As I drove back to San Francisco to find a new apartment, I continued having revelations about my own mind. In my new apartment, I spent time alone plowing through many texts about the brain and mind before I came across a book by Robert Munro called Journeys Out of the Body. I practiced some of the exercises the book recommended. They didn't cause me to travel out of my body but did have another astounding effect. I began to see flashes of memory from the first 13 years of my life of which I had previously had no recall. I didn't understand them at first until a floodgate opened and all the memories rushed in suddenly. I was overwhelmed and could not believe the things I was remembering. I felt like a deer in the headlights, understanding but too horrified to process everything all at once. Flashes of my father being enamored with Japanese torture methods and using me as his lab rat from age 3 to 6 surged into my mind. Glimpses of spending 6 months in a juvenile detention center at age 6½ and spending 2 weeks in solitary confinement appeared. Finally, flickers of spending 5 years in a Catholic orphanage, where I and 500 other girls suffered stunning emotional and physical abuse until I was released at age 13. Astonished by these memories that were coming up, I sat in the middle of my living room like a stone sculpture. When the movie of memories stopped, I whispered to the empty room, "That's what's wrong. I got brainwashed. What do I do now?" The memory dump revealed that I was mind-controlled through physical and emotional torture. What was so strange is that after the age of 13, my memories of my father are great. He taught me to hunt and fish, and to be self-sufficient in the wilderness. He taught me advanced mathematics and so much more. I grew up loving math and science. It seemed natural that I would study civil engineering as a career path. From everything I had read, I realized that early childhood experiences are embedded into the subconscious as truth. My subconscious truth was first you get tortured by a man, and then the man treats your cuts, bruises, wounds, and then the man cuddles you and rocks you to sleep, and then you feel loved and safe again. This was exactly the scenario I had been playing out in life without ever knowing why. Never would I have understood this, had that dam not broken wide open when it did, and for that I am grateful. On top of that conditioned behavior, the voices kept telling me I was worthlessness in this world, but now with my memory returning, I knew differently. I knew that the horrible things that were done to me, were not things I had caused, chosen or deserved. So not only did I need to figure out how to overcome being brainwashed to fix my mind, I needed to find out how to get rid of the voices that plagued me and continued to tell me horrible things about myself. When I got back to work after the weekend, my boss called me into his office. "Sherry," he said, "how would you like to learn computer programming?" I said, "Sounds interesting. What's going on?" He leaned back in his chair. "We just got awarded a contract to develop a computerized tracking system for a major water district. I thought you would be the best candidate to head up the project."
"Sure,"
I said, "I'd love the challenge. When do we start?" "Tomorrow," he said. Over the next months I learned computer programming. 15 months later I had written the computer code for the water district's tracking system and they loved it. More than that, I saw a remarkable similarity between how computers process information and how our brains process information, each running on a program that is inserted by an outside programmer. While the computer program operates by its software code, the brain program operates by electrical impulses traveling specific synaptic paths. I wondered if I could write a mental program that would not only tackle the negative thoughts, that is, the voices that were hounding me, but also eliminate or deprogram the brainwashed conditioning that was exacerbating the misery in my life. My theory was to write a mental program and train myself to use that new program more than the existing one until the new program became automatic and the existing program atrophied, weakened to the point it could no longer perform, even if I tried. In other words, rewire my brain. I first tried to edit the code in my brain, but it didn't work. It was way too complicated to remember while in the throes of unconscious conditioned responses set off by life events, or during Arjun attacks. I needed to think of something easier, something I could remember while in the midst of older programming being triggered by the world around me. I now knew that all the negative things I'd been taught about myself by my parents, the juvenile detention center, the Catholic orphanage, public schools, and society in general with regard to who I really was were not true. It was all lies. I was not a bad and evil person destined to go to hell. I was not a crazy person. I was not a selfish person. I did not hate myself or anyone else. I was not born to hate life, nor was I born to sin. I was not stupid, going nowhere. I was not a bad mother. None of those things were true, and yet, prior to running the new program, I heard this as truth by the voices and felt this as true by the mental conditioning all day and all night long. Because of that, I had seen bewildered surprise in the faces and eyes of others as I watched myself overreacting to their innocent words and walking away in embarrassment. All I could do was cringe at my overreactions later when I was alone. I vowed that if it took me my whole life, I would find a way to fix this. After some trial and error, I designed a mental program called That's a Lie. I actually have Wayne Dyer to thank for initially setting me on the right track by pointing out that we do have a choice about the way we think. In other words, we have the ability to take control over our own mind.